Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about manufactured racism in America. It's the process of dividing to conquer. Racial division that's being manufactured in order to overthrow the Constitutional Republic of America. Now, you may disagree with that. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to have your dialogue and discussion on that issue. We're talking with one of our 4 sons. Notice I said our. My bride has said on a number of occasions, it's not your son, it's our son. And we've got 4 sons. Greg's with me today on this broadcast. He's residing up in the southern tip of heaven, as he calls it, up in Tennessee, looking out over the mountains. He gets to enjoy the fluffy white snow and the aftermath and the ice and the cold. And I love the 70-degree or better weather here in the state of Florida.
Oh, goodness.
Greg, thank you again. Thank you again for joining Dad today on this broadcast. It's always my joy, a pleasure, and delight to have you with us. I'm looking at an article, Greg, that says, pure racism. New York City principal sends home white identifiers, list of parents, to convert them to the white traitors' stage of whiteness. This article is dated February the 16th of 2021. Critical race theory watchdog Christopher F. Ruffo reported on Monday that the principal of the New York school sent a list of white identities to parents, white parents, so that they could try to convert themselves from white supremacist to white abolitionist. The East Side Community School teacher even included a white supremacist spectrum for the parents to look at and to identify where they stand. And I'm just going to read this is the list of whiteness that the teacher sent to the parents. It says 8 white identifiers. There's a regiment of whiteness, and these are action-oriented white identifiers. People who identify with whiteness or one of these identifiers, it's about time to build a study on whiteness. Number 1, white supremacists clearly marked white society as perverseness and names and values. Number 2, white voyeurism wouldn't challenge a white supremacist, desires non-whiteness because it's interesting and pleasurable, seeks to control the consumption and the appropriation of non-whiteness. Number 3, white privilege. Many critics critique the supremacy, but a deep investment in question of fairness and equality under the normalization of whiteness and the white rule, sworn rule, goal of diversity. Number 4, white benefit. Sympathetic to a set of issues that are only privately, won't speak out, etc., etc. White confessional. Some exposure of whiteness takes place, but as a way of being accountable to political correctness after seeking validation. White critical, take on board critiques of whiteness and invest in exposing the marking of the white regime. White traitor, number 7, actively refuses complicitly to name what's going on, intention to subvert white authority and to tell the truth of whatever cost. And then white abolitionist, changing institutions, dismantling whiteness, and not allowing whiteness to reassert itself in any form. Further, the article says, The modern day left is determined to destroy our society with their hatred, their ignorance, and their manufactured racism. Apparently, this list of 8 white identifiers has been passed around on Facebook now for about a year. Greg, what do you say to that approach being taken in our school system today, where it's literally causing students of every color and the parents of those students to begin to be supposedly to be introspective? Am I a white racist? Am I a white supremacist? Is racism really a problem? What about little Johnny that's not the same color? How should we respond? Greg, do you find that a manufactured racism, or is that something that is simply taking place out of the norm and the ordinary?
We're beginning to judge by the color of the skin and not the content of the character. We're beginning to judge by the color of the skin and not the actual deeds. That's a dangerous route. It's a dangerous course, but it's something that Bolsheviks, leftist, communist, socialist have used for many decades. If you go back to the Bolshevik Revolution, they had to demonize the kulak farmers that refused to give their land over to the socialist structure, and they so demonized them to the point that people were willing to go out and kill them. In the Weimar Republic, Germany, they so demonized Jews that people went out and their own neighbors would drag them out the street and beat them to death. Okay? So today, the demonization of the color white skin, I'm sorry, there's none of us white. We're all shades of color. And we're all from the same dust. We're all of the same creation.
Yes.
Look at the evil. And every time you hear a story break, if the left intends to use it, they twist the story. It's kind of like, you know, that Dylann Roof, fellow that called in last week. He talked about the 10 black folks that were killed in the middle of the church service. That absolutely happened. That is absolutely evil. That was absolutely a little neo-Nazi punk that did it. He killed 9 people, and I think 3 others survived. But Dylann Roof, when you explore his background, the kid hated America. This is a little flag-burning Nazi. This is
right.
Not a conservative. This is not a conservative.
Right.
This is probably a socialist leftist twit. I mean, he's a meth head American hater. You find me a conservative, a true dyed-in-the-wool conservative in America today, and see if you can get that person to burn a flag. They may want to hurt you if you burn a flag, an American flag, but that's what this little twit was. And I hate to be a name caller. At the same time, I don't know how to better characterize him. I mean, it's evil, evil. There you go. He's just evil. But lie after lie after lie is necessary for them to propagate the race hatred, the skin color hatred. When Trayvon Martin was shot and killed, they said a white man did it. Was Mr. Zimmerman, was he white? As far as I know, he was Hispanic, and he had like a Hispanic mother and a Jewish father. Was he a white man? Well, no. Matter of fact, you know, he's a minority in America. I mean, and then the Tuwala, we go all the way back to Al Sharpton. You know, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and Benjamin Crump are the three most renowned race baiters in America today. Those folks, anywhere there's racial division, they're going to be right in the middle of it, and they stir it. Now, they've each one made millions of dollars by race baiting. Follow the money, folks. And if you're not following the money, follow the power, and you'll see why they do these things. Al Sharpton came out many years ago and said Tuwanna Brawley had been raped. She's a black woman. She'd been raped by at least 4 white men, is what the statement was. Did that turn out to be true? Absolutely not. But in the age of Benjamin Crump, we can say that Trayvon Martin was killed by a white man, and the entire nation gets inflamed. The Black Lives Matter movement starts, and it's all built upon a lie. Matter of fact, law enforcement that are initially investigated the scene and interviewed Zimmerman, he testified. He gave them full walkthrough statements with no attorney present, walked them through everything, and the law enforcement said, we don't see a reason to arrest or charge him. This is a clear case of self-defense. Then it became political, and sadly, the city of Jacksonville got drawn into it. The 4th Judicial Circuit Court, Angela Corey got drawn into it. Bernie Dellarondi got drawn into it. John Guy got drawn into it. And then a farce emerged. Even the woman that was the key testimony in that case, that Rachel, whatever her name was, she was not the girl on the phone with Trayvon Martin. Matter of fact, if anybody has a question about this, all the pieces of that puzzle were put together in a video. I've posted that on Facebook today. Feel free to go and look at it. The entire thing was a farce. By the way, red, yellow, black, or white, if your head is being bashed against a concrete paved sidewalk, you are at risk for your life. The pavement became the aggravating circumstance, and you are being battered. It is self-defense. If you shoot the person that's on top of you, ground and pound, beating you to death and pounding your head into the pavement. By the way, that young man apparently had made it all the way back to near his dad's girlfriend's backyard. And he said on the telephone to the woman that night, "I'm going to go back and I'm going to get that crazy blank cracker." He did this to himself, folks. He worshiped, he idolized the violence all over his Facebook page, all over the internet. His Twitter rant, it was that sort of stuff. And he was kicked out of school three times. He was such a problem child that his own mother said, go away. Go live with your daddy. That's how bad Trayvon – but Trayvon Martin was idolized. He was the young – he was killed because he was a black boy in a white neighborhood. He was wearing a hoodie. It's a lie. The whole thing was a lie. But it was a lie in order to
– One of the things that we find, and that's what I want our listeners to understand, by the way, for our listening audience, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. You got any questions in relationship to manufactured racism in America, or what's taking place, or how it is a declension when a person cannot have a intelligent conversation about an issue, they will default to, well, you're just a racist. That is the term today. Greg, I'm looking at an article that says Franklin Graham warns of government control over our citizens' lives. And he talks about how we're in a declension in America where the lives of our citizens are being controlled now by the government. And part of that governmental control is the declension that is being used today that everything is racist. Everybody that's a light pigmented skin, i.e. white, then you're a white supremacist. If you have a tonation of your skin color, you're the one that's being dealt a bad blow. And you're the one that the white supremacists are against. And it's dividing the culture. And for our listeners, I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, it is a deceitful heart, a wicked heart, according to Jeremiah 17:9. It is that heart of sin and evil and wickedness that will cause one to be what is now being accused, that you're a racist. It is simply because of a disdain for humanity. I believe we have Brother Davis on the line. Go ahead with the question and comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Good morning, Pastor. I hope you're well.
Yes, sir. Everything is good. And I thank God for the discussion that you and Greg are having on today. Certainly, it is a volatile subject and issue as well. Let's say not an issue, because I believe that men create issues as a result of what you just said about the heart. It's desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things, just like the scripture says. And of course, individuals who have operated from that standpoint has caused the things that we see are going on in our lives today as well as in the past. So of course, as a result of the things that have happened, this is what keeps all the trouble and all the confusion stirred up. And there are individuals that like to take advantage of situations like that, that are still causing these kind of things to continue to happen. But as Christians, Dr. Youngblood, I don't believe we ought to allow ourselves to get caught up in that vacuum, because if we have been saved, born again in Christ Jesus, then we are a new creature. We
Absolutely.
Need to learn to depart, from those things that cause confusion, because we're supposed to be all about love and all about peace and joy and all of these great things that pertain unto the kingdom of God. We don't see where anything, concerning being a Christian or in Christianity that we involve ourselves with, in other words, will cause divisions in the body. The Apostle Paul spoke about this in 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm just going to read just a few verses, and I know we're just about out of time. But 1 Corinthians 12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Amen. So, if that's the case, this scripture is telling us, it doesn't matter what racial background you can connect yourself with or whatever you want to identify with. If you are a Christian, amen, then you are one in Christ
amen.
Jesus. There's no
amen.
Big eyes. There's no little yous.
You got
God
it.
Loves everybody, and to God, everybody is somebody. So what
that's
we
right.
need to do on today, Dr.
Amen.
Youngblood, is separate ourselves, because the world is doing a pretty good job of standing in confusion. And I don't think they'll ever get it straightened out until they come to Christ Jesus. But Christians should not allow themselves to get caught up in that vacuum.
Absolutely, brother. I don't know of any greater statements could be said than you've already made today. And so I'm thankful for your call, thankful for your insight and input, because that's exactly where God doesn't see skin tonation. He sees the heart, and we're
Amen.
Judged based upon our heart. And so that's what our listeners need to understand. I believe, Greg, hold on just a moment. I believe we have another caller on the line. Paul, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing great. Thank you for your call.
Yes, I was listening to about departed by education and how one board, I guess, said that he was in agreement that the black should go into school to learn how to learn and everything. But all in all, we learn from each other. Like we say, the word seeking has seven letters. The first three letters spell C. The last four letters spells king. Within that word is the word kin, K-I-N. And we are kingdom kin by the blood of Jesus, seeking to see the king in everybody we see. And on the part about Trayvon Martin, I also remember part of the report that it said that they told Zimmerman not to pursue him, but he did. So, you know, there's no truth but truth. And
yes,
with
absolutely.
The Black Lives Matter downtown, you had a lot of LGBTQ members inciting young people to jump on top of police cars, and they were running along writing stuff on different buildings and things and calling it the Black Lives Matter. But all lives matter, and we're kingdom kin. That's what truly matters.
Amen, brother. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Thank you for that comment, for that insight. That's what I want the listeners to understand, that as you use the term, we're kingdom kids. If we've said yes
Amen.
To Christ as Savior and as Lord, our hearts should be totally changed. We ought not to see skin tonation, but see brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is the transition that I want us to understand even now, that we have so many today that claim to be saved, claim to be Christian, yet they embrace the Black Lives Matter Marxist communist agenda for overthrowing America. Greg, I believe we have another caller on the line. Do you have the question or comment, please?
Yes. Good day, Dr. Youngblood. Again, this is a sad day in America. I didn't expect that we would see a day like this when America has reached where it's reached towards collapsing. The whole idea of even slavery. I don't know, but Pastor Dr. Youngblood would have an idea if I'm right. But I think Abraham had slaves. And my idea is that slavery has been from way back a part of the economic system. Slaves were part of the household and of how things were. Paul, in his writing on the New Testament, never condemned slavery as a economic system or institution. Slavery become terrible as men become more greedy and selfish in the 16th, 17th century down the line, when men became heartless because of the greed and started to treat slaves in a very deplorable ways, that righteous hearts, godly men and women, were not able to, and they had to begin to condemn it, rise up and condemn it. And many died to see slavery come to an end. And America, should we lose a president when he signed the abolition of slavery? And America should have gotten some credit for putting an end to the slave trade as such. Although slavery is still going on now, and the same people in a different way, but it's still here, destroying. We are in extremely wicked times, extremely. And
absolutely.
Thank God that we have hankered in him. We can look up to God. It's terrible, really terrible what's going on. But thank
it
God,
is.
He's in the control. Yes.
Yes, and I am thankful for you calling for your insight. You're exactly right. And the key to it is to recognize that we're all created by God. We're all equal in his sight. We all have a responsibility, especially as Christians, have a responsibility of facing the issues from a biblical perspective. Greg, do you have any comments, statements, and then we have another caller?
With each of your callers, I'd say that one of the greatest things is the fact that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're family. We can unite together. That's our point of unity. Secondarily, as Americans, we ought to be able to stand shoulder to shoulder and unite with one another. But as far as focus, attention-wise, many folks that want to divide us on racial bounds will point to the 13, what they consider unarmed black folks that were killed by police in 2019, I believe. And when the study is done of case by case by case, that's not a real number. But even if it were, it's a horrible number. It shouldn't be one, okay? But 769 murders took place in Chicago in the year 2020. Is that a more important number? I think that's an important number. That's one city. That is one city in the United States. But a more important number than that is 18,769,000 black babies have been killed in the womb since 1973 in these United States of America. Is that an important number? Now, is our focus completely out of whack? If black lives really matter, then those black lives in the south side of Chicago that are killed every single day would matter. That 18,769,000 black babies that have been murdered in the womb, those would matter. But for every leftist out there that wants to drive a wedge, you need to cut it out. We're going to focus on what matters, and we're going to unify as Christians, we're going to unify as Americans, and we're going to address these problems truthfully. I'm tired of it. I am absolutely sick and tired of the divisive crap out of these leftists.
Yes, you're exactly right. It's the government that is designed purpose, especially with the Biden administration, to undermine, to circumvent, and destroy anything that's called morals, ethics, and values, to destroy the Constitutional Republic. Greg, hold on for a moment. I believe we have Joseph on the phone. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Greg just stole my thunder and said everything I'm going to say. You know, we're all family. We all should love each other, be tolerant, long-suffering, and there's white people aren't perfect, black people aren't perfect, but this is the devil behind all of it.
Got it.
Stirring up turmoil, black versus white, rich versus poor, Democrat versus Republican, college educated versus non-college educated. Even he's got women in fighting with men, you know, gender battles.
That's
it's all
That's
Satan.
Right. It is. Brother, you're exactly right. That's a good point for us to recognize is the divisiveness, and it is a satanic, demonic battle that we're faced with. Greg, do you want to respond to that?
Absolutely. Well, we're going to back on your initial point, you know, this fabricated racial issue, case by case by case, we see fabrication. If it were true that there's systemic racism in America, it wouldn't be necessary for the left to fabricate it. But they fabricate it over and over. They started with, folks like Trayvon Martin, but they went to Michael Brown with a hands up, don't shoot lie. It was a complete lie. All of America that's paying attention know it was a lie. But here's some of the facts, folks. When Michael Brown assaulted Officer Wilson in his car, by the way, he had already assaulted a man, strong arm robbery in a convenience store. But when he assaulted Officer Wilson, you have folks that say, well, no, he never laid hands on Wilson. He pummeled Wilson. Wilson went away with bruises about the head and face. Okay. He also went away. If folks say Michael Brown was unarmed, Michael Brown tackled, broke the window of Officer Wilson's vehicle, bumped in the mirror, and tackled him with such ferocity that Michael Brown's DNA was left on the shirt, on the pants, and on the gun of Officer Wilson. So don't tell me. And when he walked away and then turned around to confront Wilson again, a witness said that he dropped down like a linebacker going for a waist shot. He was going to absolutely clobber Wilson again. That's when he finally got shot. Okay, so let's talk about facts. And you don't need to fabricate things if it's legit. If it's legit, hands up, don't shoot. You don't that's a fabricated story. It's a lie. It's a the Trayvon Martin. The only reason he was shot was because he was black wearing a hoodie. That's a lie. Let's tell the truth about each one of these situations, and then we can have a fair discussion as to how we're going to move forward together. But the divisive lie it has to end. It has to cease.
Yes. Joseph, go ahead with your comment.
The mainstream media pours gasoline on any kind of racial situation, and they are guilty as heck for, instead of being a uniter, they're doing their darndest to stir up racial stuff.
Absolutely. Right. Joseph, thank you so much for your call today. Greg, let's wrap up with the thoughts, and this we'll just touch on it. We can talk about it a little later. But it's bad enough to see it in the media. It's bad enough to see it in being carried out by the accusations that are false in relationship to the police and what law enforcement's doing. But I'm looking at an article that says, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, bankrolling math is racist. Now the thing is, we're finding in our school system, where Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation infusing hundreds of millions of dollars in order to teach that mathematics is racist. Here's the bottom line, Greg, and you can comment on it as we close. Here's the bottom line, that in a classroom setting where you're teaching math, that the teacher is a white supremacist and is a racist themselves if they tell that student that the 2 and 2 is 4, and if they don't get 2 and 2 is 4, and you correct it by writing on the paper, showing its correction, that you're then the racist. That's being promulgated in our schools today under the guise of mathematics. What do you say to that? We've got about 15 seconds left.
Yeah. If everything is racist to the left, nothing is racist. Literally, they have so sensationalized to the point that nothing is racism anymore. The reality is God's word says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's where
Amen.
We can unite.
Good ending there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.